Welcome to Sports Life Talk presents The Ringworm. It's going to be our wrestling segment that we're going to bring to you every week. And we're going to start off with the Raw 25th anniversary that took place last week, last Monday, matter of fact. Serge, give me your opinion on that episode.
My opinion was that it was not up to standard. I expected a lot more, being that it's the 25th anniversary. Knowing who, you know, Vince McMahon is, I just expected a lot more. I expected, you know, more, some of the more old school talent to be there, wrestlers to be there. Just the overall way that they broke it down into, you know, the different segments and who came out. I think the Stone Cold Steve Austin segment was really cool with, you know, giving the stunner to Shane McMahon and Vince McMahon. Just for old time's sake, that was cool. But outside of that, man, I think everything else was just very, you know, the Dudley Boys, DX being in the other arena, bringing out Razor Ramon. He didn't have nothing to do with DX, and I don't know. I just expected more. Just knowing how much, you know, a fan I know I myself have been. You know, I just thought that, you know, kind of like we spoke on episode 6, like that we. We're really looking forward to, like, you know, the guys from the Attitude Era being there. I know they had The Undertaker also in the other arena. And I know why they did it. You know, some of the segments of the arena, because that's where they originally started it. But they just could have done a way better job of, you know, segmenting it out properly, but then also bringing in the right people. Like, you know, The Rock wasn't there. Mick Foley wasn't there. Ric Flair wasn't there. I mean, there were just different guys that just ended up not being there. Probably various reasons, but
yeah, I would have preferred them have everything in one arena, yeah. And the superstar that you weren't going to use in the Royal Rumble or anything for the episode, have them go to the other building and perform.
Yeah,
because I was so disappointed. Like you said, the Stone Cold Steve Austin. Yes, he came out there. He stunned. He drank beer. That's what we wanted to see. Seeing guys like, what was it, the Boogeyman and all that? You know, that was cool. And the Godfather.
Yeah,
but. The DX segment, oh my goodness, they missed the mark.
Yeah,
how can you have DX at that building?
Yeah,
I mean,
and they didn't have anything to do with that building, and that's my thing is, Undertaker made sense because he was, you know, he's not wrestling anymore, and for him to come out there, you know, but yeah, you could have made some of the smaller, lighter matches that you were gonna have on Raw. In the other arena, but put DX in there where there's 20,000 people in the arena. And, you know, by having just a bigger ring, bigger everything, you're just able to just garner more attention and probably be able to do a lot more in that segment. You know, it's cool that they saved it for the, you know, towards the end, but they, I don't know, it was just like a poor executed, you know, finish that for a 25th anniversary, because, you know, I guess they could do potentially something on the 30th, but, like, you know, another 5 years, some of these older guys are going to be that much older. And I just think they just could have done things a little differently. I do understand that it was the same week as heading up to Royal Rumble, so maybe that has something to do with it. But I just expected better. I mean, knowing WWE and how they roll, and, you know, because I remember 15 years ago when they did the 10th anniversary, man, it was...
Yes.
Live. It was super, super live. And so I just, when it comes to stuff like that, I have high expectations. So if I was going to grade it on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the best and 5 being average, man, it was probably like a 4.
Yeah, I'm going to give it a 4 too. At least give us a better match that last segment.
Yeah.
Who wanted to see the Revival versus Luke Gallows
and
the other guy? You know, at least give us the Usos versus Seth Rollins and Jason Jordan.
Yeah.
Give us something that's going to keep our attention, because the whole time I'm wondering, okay, who's going to get kicked in the face and who's going to get pedigreed?
Right.
And they really missed a mark on that. And I get it, like you said, when we're off air, how they wanted to keep the floor of the Royal Rumble, but this was the 25th anniversary. You've been hyping it up. It should have been a way better show than that.
Yeah, I agree.
And let's talk about some of the downfalls of life. In wrestling, and that's we're going to talk about Enzo Amore, who was released after rape allegations. And if you listen to our last podcast, which is episode 7, well, you will be listening to it. You already know our feelings about it, and I want you to just take over, Serge, and tell me how you feel about this one.
You know, kind of similar to the whole like Michigan State scandal and things like that with sexual assaults and, you know, rapes and stuff like that. We've talked about on actually even some of the different other episodes on our podcast. I'm glad that, you know, they do have a standard that they want to go by, and WWE doesn't play any games. You know, because he might not have been a top five superstar in the wrestling world, but, I mean, he was a great entertainer.
Yes, he is good. I will give him that.
Great. He was great on the mic. And he had his own following. He had his niche.
I'm Enzo Amore. I'm a certified G, and you can't teach that.
Yeah, right. And so, you know, they're just a... You know, he had his fandom. I mean, they're just, you know, the way he dressed, the way he talked, you know, he had a good charisma, and, you know, the whole character that he had was great. And to see that, you know, whatever, I don't know to the full extent of what exactly happened. I know it stemmed from October of last year, but, you know, as soon as the allegations came down and, you know, charges were pressed, you know, they didn't wait around. You know, suspend him or, you know, indefinitely or anything like that. They just straight up just release him because they know they got to set the standard too with all the stuff that's going on. You know, they don't need to, even though they're not looked at in the same light as NFL, NBA, MLB, NHL, any of those, you know, big sports, you know, organization, WWE still has a set standard that they want to go by. And I think they've made a wise decision to release him.
And for them to get rid of him, you know, it had to be serious because they like to, they actually do back their superstars. I'll give them that. So it had to be serious. So I wrote to WWE on this. Hey, anything against women and children, we can't have it.
Is that zero tolerance?
Okay. So, sir, let me ask you, we've talked a couple of wrestling, you know, a couple of times about wrestling, but we never talked about our favorite finishing move. So what is your favorite finishing move?
My favorite finishing move has to be Stone Cold Stunner. Because obviously, kind of similar to the RKO, like, it does come out of nowhere, but it's just like, you get that kick in the gut first, and you don't have a choice, because when you get kicked in the gut, you automatically...
you go down.
You go down, well, you're already at my mercy at that point, and I just leave my feet, turn my body, grab you by the neck, and, you know, put your jaw on my shoulder and stun you, and you do get stunned. And you're woozy for a little bit. You've seen stars looking up into the rafters, and I'm going to get that 1, 2, 3 real quick.
But the one thing I like about that move is the way the other wrestlers will sell it. Like The Rock, he'll go from one side of the ring, and he goes all over there. And he said the reason he does that is because they wanted to see who could do it the best, and they will win a case of beer. So, you know, of course, Rock, the ultimate entertainer, he won the beer. Mine, man, it is a stunner, but for this one, I like the pedigree. And I remember, what did we say? It was Shotgun Saturday. It was when they first introduced Hunter Hearst Helmsley. I was like, man, who is this dude? He has that long hair. He really didn't talk. Then they eventually gave him a mic.
He did a little bow.
Yeah, he had the red jacket on. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, his finishing move was a pedigree. I was like, oh, crap.
Yeah.
That's why.
Put you between the legs.
Because... You can see,
the arms,
you can't protect yourself. Yeah, he has to do that move right. If not, you got a broken nose.
Yeah,
it's that simple. So you like
or
the stunt? I'm pretty sure he's giving plenty of people. And let me ask you your thoughts on this. They gave Seth Rollins the pedigree for a little bit because Vince didn't like the curb stomp. And hey, last week or the week before, they brought it back. And I thought that was one of the best moves I've seen, the curb stomp. I'm glad they let him have that back. So what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think, you know, unless it becomes something that's, like, super dangerous. I mean, shoot, every move at the end of the day could be dangerous if you don't do it right. So,
but I think their thinking behind that was they didn't want kids doing that. But come on, man. They're going to do it anyway.
Shoot, they probably got moves now that somebody else is going to be doing in about 10 years.
I mean, my cousins have powerbombed me. And look at me. I'm still here. I'm not hurt. I mean.
Yeah. I think they need to, you know, make sure that the wrestlers have their own uniqueness to them too, and their finishing moves. I mean, obviously you're gonna have a lot of the moves that you do between the beginning of the match and until your finisher. Obviously, there's 75% of the moves are pretty similar, but it's those finishing moves or those, you know, 4 or 5 moves that every superstar has that makes them unique and makes them different. You know, and I'm glad that they gave it back to him, and I think it, you know, because it was weird seeing. I'm like, why is he doing the same move that Triple H did? And I'm like, I know he's one of the guys that they're trying to kind of, you know, model into kind of being like a Triple H, because he's great on the mic too, and you know, he plays the role well, whether it's, you know, being a heel or not. And so I'm glad that they're doing that, and hopefully as more and more have, you know, more wrestlers come out, hopefully they'll make sure that the wrestlers, as they come into WWE, do have their own signature finishing moves, as opposed to something that's exactly like some, you know, another older superstar. Unless you're like the son or daughter, I guess, of a, you know, of a previous wrestler, then it makes sense for you to.
Yeah, like Charlotte Flair, she has instead of the figure, she has a figure eight.
Figure eight, yeah.
Instead of that. Okay, so the Royal Rumble is happening tonight, and I know on one episode we gave predictions. I want to see, has any of your predictions changed? Who is going to win the Women's Royal Rumble?
Women's Royal Rumble?
Remember, earlier you picked Bayley. Are you still going with Bayley?
Man, Sasha Banks is, I mean, bad statement. And I just think she just has more character, but you know, WWE throws so much curveballs that you just never know, especially because this is the first time that they're doing this with the women. I would like to see Bayley win it, you know, but I would also give Sasha Banks a really good opportunity to win, because, you know, she is a good seller. You know, she would be still a good person to sell on, you know, letting her win it also.
Because she's a better heel to me than anything. That's why I like Sasha Banks. So my three, I think it's either going to be Bayley, Becky Lynch, but I'm going to go Sasha Banks too, because they've kind of buried her for some reason. Yeah. I don't know why. She was up there, then they got her losing to Nia Jax all the time, really.
Yeah.
Well, Nia Jax, it would be nice to finally give her some recognition, because she's the biggest one, and let's be honest, who could really beat her up?
Nobody.
So it will.
She could just sit on you and be
done. Yeah, so you know what? Well, never mind. They're going to double team Nia Jax, all the women. She'll probably be the first one to go.
Yeah.
She's going to be the first one to go. So
they go treat it like the Big Show.
Yep.
In the regular men's
room. Everybody's going to go after her, and then she'll
be
gone.
They get three people to lift, you know, flip her over, and then as soon as they flip her over, they're going to get all happy, and then somebody else is going to come
throw them out.
Yeah, throw them out.
So I'm going to go with Sasha Banks, and hopefully that could set up a rivalry between her and Bayley.
Yeah.
Because Bayley needs to change, too. The whole hugging thing, we talked about this before. It's great to be a hugger, but it's great to be a winner, too. So let's get rid of all the hugging.
Yeah.
What about on the men's side? Who you got winning?
Who do I got winning, man? I want
to. Remember, we both picked Finn.
Finn, man. You got to give it to Finn. I just, like, he's, and, you know, kind of touching back on the 25th anniversary, you know, the segment with DX. I saw the whole, you know, it looked like they were putting him over even after they did, you know, Shawn Michaels gave him the kick, and, you know, the Outlaws did their thing, Triple H gave the pedigree, they still had him go up and do his finishing move. And so, you know, it maybe that was like a pre-setup for him to do it. You know, obviously, you know, the winner of the Royal Rumble goes on to WrestleMania and gets a championship match. You know, if that's going to be Brock Lesnar, if that's going to be, you know, Braun Strowman, I doubt it'll be Kane.
Well, those three, they won't be in a Rumble because they have that match.
No, I know, but no. I'm saying whoever wins.
Yeah, I got you. Go to WrestleMania as a championship. I got you.
So it would be pretty cool. And I think, like, kind of had mentioned on the previous Ringworm edition that we did, is, you know, he had the first Universal Championship, and then obviously he got hurt, so he had to relinquish it. I think it would be cool to, this is the, rather than just like as soon as he gets back, just give him another shot. You actually make him go through the Royal Rumble, let him win, get him to the biggest stage. Now everybody gets to see him all across the world, how great he is, put him against that match and put him over to where he can kind of be like another popular guy, like a John Cena. You're, you know, kind of passing the torch for at least a few years. Like, he can be that guy that kind of helps right the ship of WWE on that mold, because you got the Shield back together, so they'll kind of always have their own thing going. But as an individual person on Raw, especially, I think it would be really cool to have Finn Balor be the one.
Now, before I give my, because I'm going to change it from Finn Balor, I want to say something about the women's side. I forget about Ronda Rousey and how they're trying to get her in there, and they're saying that she won't be at the Royal Rumble, and she tried to show a picture of her Instagram where she's filming on somewhere else. I eventually see whoever wins the Royal Rumble, they'll probably put her in a match against Ronda Rousey, and Ronda Rousey is going to win that match, and she's going to face like Charlotte Flair at WrestleMania.
I can see that.
So that's my prediction. So I'm going on the men's side. I'm going Shinsuke Nakamura.
Okay.
That guy, he was the, you know, the stuff at NXT, and then you bring him up on SmackDown, and you basically just bury him.
Yeah.
And they have they don't know how to work with the talent they have this year. So I'm hoping Shinsuke Nakamura wins. If not, Finn Balor. Then they have the Balor Club where AJ Styles joins him.
Yeah.
Because they were together in the Bullet Club in Japan.
Yeah.
Then have a match set up where Balor versus AJ Styles, because both of them want to be the man.
Right.
And that could be your closing match at WrestleMania. What do you think about that?
Yeah, and as long as AJ Styles keeps the championships, because, you know, I think it's usually they set it up to where whoever wins the Royal Rumble, I think, gets to pick which championship that they want
to
go after.
They get to, so yes.
If AJ Styles keeps it,
move Finn Balor and the Balor Club to SmackDown, and that can help out.
Right. Or you would have to do that. Or unless they did, you know, decide to do another draft where, say Braun Strowman wins and then they put him on SmackDown, bring AJ Styles to Raw, you know, that might be another way to do it too.
Yeah, I don't see him doing that because Braun is like, he's the most popular guy they have right now, so he has to stay
Braun's
on Raw.
Beast.
He can talk good on the mic. He plays his role too, and they're actually getting his character right.
Yeah,
that's a good thing about it. Well, hey, this was the first edition of Ringworm. Sports Life Talk presents the Ringworm. We'll be doing this every week from now on. So if you have anything that you want us to talk about as far as wrestling, please hit us up on where?
Facebook, facebook.com, Sports Life Talk, Instagram, Sports Life Talk, Twitter at Sports Life Talk. You know, please follow us and send us any questions or comments and something you would want us to talk about on Ringworm.
All right, we'll see you next week.